Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Tom Appel is my guest. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive and a contributor to their Daily Drive blog. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. He is here to talk about some automotive stories in the news and to answer any and all of your automotive and car questions. Phone lines and text lines are open. Get them in now, 312-981-7200. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, first story is an interesting one. Baby boomers are still the most influence in the auto industry?
Yeah, fascinating article that appeared in the news a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Suggesting that it's boomers, and that's a huge audience. That's 75 million Americans are really the ones that shape the modern auto, the modern auto situation. And if you read the article, it makes a really great case for this. You know, boomers are people born between roughly 46 and 64, and they're the ones that brought us the Mustang and kind of brought us the first sporty cars, and then they brought us the muscle cars, and they responded to that, and then the minivan, and then eventually they're the ones now moving to crossovers. And that's really true, that what are now senior citizens or early senior citizens are really moving into crossovers now because they make a little bit more sense, they're a little bit more practical. You can put your grandkids in the back seat, and they have what's called a really convenient age point or hip point, and you can slide into a car easily, so you're not pulling yourself up.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating point, and it's true, too, because baby boomers are still buying cars in fairly significant numbers, where Generation Xers aren't quite doing that. Millennials definitely aren't. So it's funny that this aging crowd is the one driving the auto industry. But, yeah, the article makes a great case that that's what's happening.
How would the auto industry respond to this? Because, you know, don't you want young people with income that they want to get rid of?
Yeah, you do. And it's interesting, too, because you do have one of the things that's happening now is that premium automakers, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Audi, are selling cars in a new entry-level new lower entry point, and that's kind of getting your younger, more affluent buyers. But increasingly, the concern now is not about selling cars to millennials that don't really want to buy cars, but making cars available for them to rent or car share. That's really the next move. This is why Ford is moving away from calling itself a car company and is starting to call itself a transportation company, because they want to make vehicles available through Lyft and through Uber and through car sharing and things like this. So the next generation of buyers to shape cars may not be buying the cars as much.
I see. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of weird and almost scary.
It is a little scary. Yeah. So boomers, you know, but as boomers age, are they going to drive as much? I mean,
they're driving longer than seniors have in the past.
Yeah.
They're doing everything longer than they used to. But I mean, the average boomer now is 70.
Right.
So that's going to wrap up fairly soon.
Yeah.
But we'll see where that goes. But they're still driving, and they're probably going to be driving longer than we think they will.
Yeah, my dad is 76, drives everywhere every day. You know?
Yeah, so. Yeah, my dad's about the same age and shows no sign of not driving.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's not even thinking about quitting driving.
No. My dad would be angry if he couldn't drive, if he wasn't able to drive. No, but I find that really interesting that baby boomers are influencing the auto industry. And they are, baby boomers, you know, I like the historical background on this, is that if you look back at some of the cars that were, you know, sort of designed during the baby boomer era, they were cool cars.
They really were, and I love the notion, and I had never considered this before, that the baby boom generation brought us the Ford Mustang. And that's a fascinating thing, because that was sort of the first personal luxury car, but sporty car that people bought that was slightly almost selfish and self-indulgent. It wasn't especially expensive, but it was a two-door car with not a lot of thought for the rear seat. It was very much an indulgent purchase.
Yeah.
Interesting that the boomers brought us that.
Yeah, that's still my favorite kind of car.
Yeah.
It's a Mustang, so there you go. All right, that's an interesting thing. We thank you for your thoughts on that. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is hanging on. We're going to go to the news, and if you have any auto-related questions or car questions about you're going to buy a car, you're interested in a car-related question, 312-981-7200. More with Tom Appel, who you can follow on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And the news is coming up next. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower. And we're here till 5 a.m. How you doing? It is Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man. Two Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200 for that. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. We are going to talk about, we're going to remember some people that we've probably forgotten. People who had 15 minutes of fame. And this is in honor of Nacho Man and Nacho Woman from last night's Cub game. So think about people who had 15 minutes of fame. 312-981-7200. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. But right now we're joined by Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He's a contributor to their Daily Drive blog. You can check out consumerguide.com and cgdailydrive.com as well. He joins us once a month to talk about automotive-related issues and to answer any and all of your car and automotive questions. 312-981-7200. Is the phone number. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay, interesting story about this car collector west of Detroit, up in Michigan, who has to sell off his cars.
Yeah.
I just find this story to be strange. Give everybody a little background on this.
Yeah, so a gentleman... Just to make sure we're still talking about the same thing, it turns out he's a baby boomer in his 70s, managed to amass a collection of more than 200 cars on a six-acre lot. And they didn't seem to be doing anyone harm, but it turns out he was in violation of something called, and I love the name of this violation, of this statute, the Anti-Blight and Inoperable Motor Vehicle Statute.
I didn't even know that existed. I didn't even know that was a thing.
No, I'd never heard of it before, but apparently that actually applies in Washington County in Michigan. So this guy's sitting on 200 cars he collected over the years. None of them seem to be especially valuable, but all of them are sort of interesting. A lot of European cars from the 80s that may be interesting to collectors someday. They're not in fantastic condition. But he ended up losing his court battle. He can't keep them on his lot, so now he has to liquidate his collection. And apparently he can't get rid of them quick enough. So one of the things he's actually doing is literally moving them across the street to another lot in another county.
Right. I find it really, I just find the story to be so strange. And they had to negotiate how many vehicles per month he needed to get rid of. Like he had to actually negotiate with the court.
Yeah, because I guess at one point they wanted him to get rid of everything right away, and that didn't seem practical or possible. So, yeah, I think he's down to a rate of 15 cars a month he's got to get rid of.
He's got to get rid of 15 cars a month. I don't know. I just find this – but I love the fact that he's just driving them right across the road.
Yeah, that can't last for too long because I'm thinking whatever county he's moving those into, we're going to be like, no.
Yeah.
Not us either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me talk a little bit, Tom, about car collecting. I didn't know that there was this rule where you couldn't have that many cars in one specific place. Where are the most car collectors? Do you know?
That's a good question. There's a lot of them out in California.
Yeah.
Famously, Jay Leno has just an outstanding collection. He keeps them all indoors, obviously, but he's also a man of substantial means.
Yes.
But I know that, like, in the Chicago area, I know out towards Barrington and out in McHenry, there's a lot of collectors that don't talk a lot about their collections or don't want them publicly known that have just steel shed buildings that they keep their cars in, and they'll have a dozen cars that they keep off the road. And it's best to keep them away from severe temperature changes. And,
sure.
Yeah, there's some money involved in keeping cars safely stored if you want to keep them operable and valuable, which this guy was not doing. These things were out and exposed to the weather.
Yeah, and in outside of Detroit where you get some serious weather.
Yeah, right. It's brutal. It's just like here. The winters are ugly.
So he's got to get rid of 15 vehicles per month, and he said he started receiving calls from people who are interested in maybe buying or purchasing some of the cars.
Yes.
Yeah, but like you said, these aren't cars that are going to flip your lid, right? I mean, is there anything, have you read what some of the cars are that might be valuable, that people might be able to buy?
Yeah, I was going through some pictures before we went on air, and he seems to have an awful lot of 80s Saabs and 80s four-cylinder BMWs, which are very interesting cars. They're not especially valuable cars. I would think that that young enthusiasts who want to do their own repairs might be interested in these things. A lot of them suffer from severe paint fade. They've just been sitting outside for a long time. So a lot of them need work and might need a little bit more work than most people want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's slowing down his progress because I think he thinks there might be just a little bit more valuable than they are.
Yeah. he's an interesting guy, but I just, I'm kind of fascinated by why he would have all these cars.
Well, I was wondering that too. I don't want to have a bunch of, I don't want to have so many cars I can't take care of them.
Right.
It's definitely the situation this guy was in.
And he's also in, and he's, like you just said, if you have that many cars, how are you going to be able to take care of them, especially if they're outside in Michigan, you know, and on top of that, you know, he seems to think that the cars are they're drivable, and it makes me feel bad that I have to, you know, scrap some of these.
Yes, that seems to be the case. But how much love can he give them? There's too many. He's not driving them.
No, he's not. It's just so strange. I don't remember. Is he single?
You know what? I don't know, but I'm going to guess yes.
I'm going to guess yes as well. He's 74 years old, this guy. 74 years old, and he's... I just thought the story was very strange. He's 15 cars a month he's got to get rid of, and it's not going very well.
No, it's not going well. So. And he suggested that he's not selling them for what they're worth. He's not getting the money he thinks he deserves.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great story. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us, talk or text. We got a couple of texts that just came in.
Oh, great.
So if you guys want to ask, if you have a question for Tom, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 815 area code says, can you ask your guest, Tom, about the Toyota CHR?
Yeah. Yeah. The CHR is Toyota's new subcompact crossover. This is a market that's just exploding right now. There's the Mazda CX-3, the Honda HR-V. There's the new Nissan Rogue Sport. All nice cars. CHR is Toyota's entry into that category. I have not driven it yet myself. Our guy Rick Cotta, our man on the road, has driven it, likes it. The bad news is initially it's not available with all-wheel drive, which most Chicago residents might want on their crossover. That said, it seems to be a fun little car, not especially fast, really stylish, should be good on the gas. Look forward for more from us on that vehicle soon.
Okay. All right. Hey, by the way, what have you been driving lately? What are you driving now?
I can't believe I'm driving this. I'm driving the Nissan Titan, which is Nissan's big pickup truck, and I'm driving the most base example of a pickup truck I've seen in 20 years. It is a regular cab on steel wheels with cloth seats and no backup camera. This is just, it's a work truck. I love this thing.
How did you end up driving this thing?
It's in the fleet. I'm surprised, and we were really anxious to drive a half-ton example of the Titan. And this is what they got us, and I'm happy to drive it.
And you're having fun.
I am.
Oh, that's great. What else have you driven since the last time we checked in with you last month?
I just drove, and this is great because you've seen me. I'm a very big guy.
Yeah.
I was just driving the Fiat 500C, which is Fiat's little, it's really a fourth-seat car, but it's really just two seats. Tiny little Fiat with a convertible top. Fabulous little car for fun. And I fit in it just fine.
Oh, you did? It was a comfortable drive for you?
Yeah. This is also a very base example. Just $20,000 manual transmission. Really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very cool. Let's see. We got some calls coming in as well. Here's Joe on WGN. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, kiddos?
All right.
Listen, I've been looking at TV recently, and this is early, I think, even for the car industry. The Chevy Equinox 18 model has been featured for the last, week or two. And I was going to think about buying a 17, but I'm looking at the 18 on TV because they don't advertise it in newspapers anymore. And it looks more stylish, if you will. I read one report. I don't recall where it was at. But he said the major comment they had is less seat room. And, I don't care about performance that much. I'm not a 0 to 60 guy in whatever amount of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like your overall comments on the 17 versus 18 Chevy Equinox.
Yeah, great question. Chevy has actually repositioned the Equinox. It's redesigned for 2018,
mm-hmm.
And it's actually a smaller vehicle. It actually moves from midsize to compact crossover, although it's a big compact. engines are all new. It goes to a 1.5 liter or a 2 liter turbo instead of the old 2.5 and V6 that was available. So far, I've only driven one example of the car. I was not blown away by it. It does not feel any smaller inside. I look forward to having more definitive impressions very soon.
Okay, Joe?
Okay, so performance, it might be a little bit less, but you didn't notice any inconvenience as far as size inside, huh?
Actually, I think performance might be a little bit better. There's a 2-liter turbo that should be really snappy if you go with that model. No, the interior does not feel smaller up front. I think you're going to lose a little bit of rear seat space.
Okay. All right, Joe, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's a text here for you, Tom.
Okay.
I have a 2008 Pontiac G6 GT with 41,000 miles on it. I've had all regular oil changes and no problems so far. I'm debating on whether to sell it or keep it for a while. How reliable is it? Would there be a market for that type of car?
No, there's probably not a lot of market for that. Pontiac's a dead brand. They went out of business after 2010. That makes Pontiacs a little bit less valuable than they could be in the resale market. Perfectly decent car, actually kind of sporty. The mechanical parts are all just common GM parts bin parts, so they should be just fine and reliable. You're not going to have any trouble getting parts. I think because the resale value is not great, I might just hold on to it.
Okay. So there you go, 630 area code. The interesting story, really kind of a cool story about, that it's associated with Hurricane Irma. Tesla wirelessly upgraded owners' batteries so that they could drive it more, to get out from the disaster. And that's a really cool story. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, this is a fascinating story because I don't know if enough people know how this exactly works. Tesla only has a couple of battery packs that they sell in their Model S and Model X vehicles. And one of the things that they've actually been doing is selling the 100 kilowatt hour battery to people who are buying the 70 kilowatt car. So essentially, you were getting that battery, paying for the smaller battery, and only getting that amount of utility. Essentially, it was just being software limited to 70 kilowatt hours instead of 100.
Mm.
Limiting your range. It was more like 240 miles instead of 300 miles. So what Tesla was able to do via cellular communication with the vehicle was to temporarily bump up that range to 300 miles for a lot of vehicles who needed to get out of there. Now, you still had to charge the vehicle. That power doesn't come from nowhere.
Yeah.
So you still had to find a place to charge it. But you did get the extra range temporarily, which pretty cool.
That's very cool. That is very, very cool. So the technology now, Tom, is just it's amazing, isn't it?
That is crazy.
It is.
And Tesla just does this stuff automatically via the airwaves. It's crazy.
It's great. It's a great story, though. A really, really great story. Okay, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. When we come back, we'll talk more about some automotive stories and answer any of your questions. Talk and text 312-981-7200. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude, weekday mornings 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. And, we're going to be talking about people who had 15 minutes of fame and remembering them, because we probably forgot most of them, and telling some stories about the ones that we remember with their 15 minutes. That's coming up a little bit later on. We also have a Blackhawks Express from last night's preseason game. It's an unfortunate Express because the Hawks lost, but we will, the morning after every game, we play the Blackhawks Express, despite the outcome of the game, just so you can hear the highlights and hear what happened on that game. That's all coming up a little bit later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us for talk or text. And Tom Appel is here. He's going to be here for a few more minutes. So if you want to jump in with your car or automotive question, we'd love to hear from you. Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. He joins us once a month. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. A few more texts have just come in, Tom.
Oh, okay.
All right. So 630 area code, what are Tom's thoughts on the Buick Encore?
Oh, I like the Buick Encore. I'm trying to talk my parents into buying one.
Mm-hmm.
That is Buick's subcompact crossover. It's a very upright car and a very short wheelbase, very short overall. Easy to park. Room for four adults, good fuel economy, very nice cabin. And it's got the regular Buick treatment, so the interior is nice. It's quiet. It rides well. Like it a lot.
All right. Very good. John texted in, I heard over 500,000 cars were impacted by Harvey. So when Houston gets back on its feet, there will be a lot of people buying, which could raise the prices for the nation. Is this true? I also heard the dealerships will now buy your car back for more than they usually would because they anticipate a shortage.
I don't know about the latter statement. That's a thing that people love. You always see those in your mail. We'd love to buy your used car. And that's usually just a trick to get you to try to trade in your car and a new car.
Yeah.
But the first statement is absolutely true. There will be a huge wave of people buying cars this month and next month that will raise interest in new cars, probably deplete the leftover supply of 17 models, which means there won't be as many big sales at the end of this year as there might normally be.
Wow. And related kind of to that topic, there you know, as we just mentioned, there are more than a half a million cars and vehicles that were damaged after Harvey.
Yeah.
But people are going to try and sell those. What are some tips? There's a story here about buying, trying to staying clear of buying a flood damaged car.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Now, the first thing is there won't be that many flood damaged cars that actually make it back into the market. If you make an insurance claim on your flood damaged car, the car is destroyed after the claim.
Mm.
So the insurance company pays you, you go out and buy a new car, they destroy the old car. That's the way that usually works.
Mm-hmm.
So there shouldn't be too many of those out there, but it's going to happen. So the things you the way to protect yourself is to buy from a reputable new car or used car dealer. They won't traffic in that stuff. If you go to CarMax or something like that, they're very picky about the cars that they resell. That's one way. Absolutely insist on a Carfax report.
Mm-hmm.
or a similar vehicle history report. And if you see a title change in there anywhere, or if the vehicle is very recently from Texas but changed state, then you should worry. But Carfax can usually identify that anyway.
Okay.
So those are the best ways to do it. Also, there are little tricks you can do, too, and there's lots of articles online of things you can do to actually check a vehicle yourself to just see, because you cannot totally prep a vehicle that's been flooded.
Okay. All right. Let's see. 773 area code. Can you ask Tom about the Honda HR-V?
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about...
Yeah.
That's today's hot topic, the subcompact crossovers. HRV is a consumer guide Best Buy. The guys at the office love it. It's kind of peppy. It's very space efficient. Gets great mileage. The only thing, it's not as quick. And rear seat space is not great. But if you're looking for a small crossover, you don't need to put four adults in it. That's a great way to go.
Okay. Anne has a question, and we've talked about this, you know, a lot, Tom. Does Tom think that driverless cars are here to stay? I'm concerned about their safety. For example, I can see someone driving and a driverless car pulling alongside of them and crashing because they're confused or looking over to try and figure out what's exactly going on.
I never thought about how freaky it would be to see a car without a driver.
Right, yeah.
That's a new perspective. they're here to stay in that we're definitely going to continue to hear about them into the future. But the day that I can get into my car that doesn't have a steering wheel and just tell it to go to my office is not going to be here anytime soon.
Okay. All right. Now, all of the really fun stuff that you do at the cgdailydrive.com, I always love the articles. We love to talk a little bit about them. And you did, the last time you were here, you picked your 10 of your favorite car grills.
Yes.
And now you let the readers choose.
Yeah, somehow that particular article, and maybe because we talked about it on air, elicited huge responses.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. I mean, I agree. I love it. I think it's great. What do you think of some of the choices that the readers had?
Well, the 61 Plymouth, which is the headline photo, I don't love it, but it is definitely one of the most divisive and memorable grills ever in the history of automotive grills. It just looks so mean and angry
it
with
does.
The curled brows. And a lot of people point this out. A lot of our readers have pointed out that it looks a lot like what Lexus is doing to vehicles right now with the Lexus spindle grill, which is hilarious and actually accurate.
It's this 61 Plymouth that you're talking about, it really does look pissed off. It just, the car looks angry.
It is, and that was just 1 year. It only looked like that 1 year, so that's it.
I think it's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, yeah.
How about the 53-54 Studebaker?
This, to me, looks like a snooty Frenchman with a pencil mustache.
In fact, it does. Yeah, that's great.
58-61, the Austin Healey Bug Eye Sprite.
This is...
It's a weird looking... That's weird looking, man.
It is weird looking. It's a character of a cute little car.
Yeah.
These are... Apparently, I've never driven one. I'm sure it wouldn't fit anyone. A delight to drive. But yeah, they actually look a little bit like frogs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they got the little bug eyes going on, the little happy grill. Yeah, very memorable.
The 58 Plymouth?
Which I think that's the Christine car.
It is Christine. Sure, it's Christine. A 58 Plymouth Fury is Christine.
Yeah, so that's what's going on there. And that is just a bunch of grill. That's just got a lot of substance.
Yeah, yeah. 59 Dodge.
Which looks a lot like the Plymouth, and they are related. They're both Mopar products. And that's got a little bit more eyebrow going on.
It does.
Yeah, but that looks substantial.
He looks tired.
I hadn't thought of that.
The car looks a little tired. the 65 Pontiac, which you got your stacked headlights.
Yeah. Again, Pontiac guy's crazy.
That's right.
I had picked the 67 Pontiac on my list, and a lot of people are like, you're crazy. It's the 65 Pontiac. So here's the 65 Pontiac. It is a great-looking car.
Yeah, very cool. The 66-67 Oldsmobile Toronado.
This is just a gorgeous car.
Yeah, absolutely.
Flat out gorgeous car. I love this. It's very mechanical looking. You know, it's got the hidden headlights. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, and then the 68 Dodge Charger, which is just a badass car.
Yeah, and speaking of hidden headlights, that makes hidden headlights look great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then the 69 Chevy.
Yeah, I don't know how on board I am with this, but people love it.
Yeah, and then the 86-91 Mercury Sable. I don't understand that choice.
That's there because the area between the headlights also lit up. There was a constant light bar between the headlights.
Oh.
Very impressive at night.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, Tom, always a pleasure, my friend. And everybody can check out ConsumerGuide.com and CGDailyDrive.com. We have a link on our Facebook page, and they can follow Tom at car_guy_Tom. Tom, always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Take care. There you go. Tom Appel, everybody. News is coming up next.